Securing your service and app has never been easier thanks to Azure Active Directory and the ADAL library. That's what we're talking about today on this episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. I'm here with Danny Strokas on the Azure Developer Experience team. He works with the ADAL library for the Windows runtime. And Danny, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me, Jerry.
Danny, I'm excited to talk about this, the ability to secure your services, the ability to secure your apps, use the library. But before we get started, tell us just a little bit about who you are.
Sure. So like Jerry said, my name is Danny Strokas. As you can tell by my age, I'm relatively new to the Microsoft world. I joined the team here in Azure AD Developer Experience about 3-4 months ago now. And so I've been working with, like Jerry said, with the Microsoft stack, specifically our SDKs for using Azure AD, and we'll get more into that. Our team is called Developer Experience Team. So we work with developers to help get them onboarded to Azure AD, make sure their applications and their services and whatnot are up and running, and try to make your lives a little bit easier. So that's my main role here at Microsoft.
Azure AD. All right, let's step back before we even start talking about anything. Give us sort of a history, Active Directory, its role, and what's happened today.
Yeah, sure. So Active Directory has an enormous install base, and it's been our go-to authentication service for a long, long time in directory service. And now we've started to move it into the cloud, and we have basically the same concept running in the cloud. And for a while, you know, it's been available as a service for, I think, I'm going to date myself, but or the opposite of dating myself, I think for a little over a year now. And it was started out as kind of like a dumbed down version of AD, and it had some limitations in terms of functionality. But now, a year into it, we're getting more and more customers using it and adding more and more features every week and every month. So as we go, we're adding a lot of things that people have been asking for, and a lot of customers that are used to using Active Directory on premises have been able to provide feedback as to features they want in the cloud, and we're adding those as we go. So it's the Active Directory for the new age, is what I like to say.
It's the Active Directory for the new age. It's also Active Directory and authentication for all of Office 365. I mean, if people are wondering if this baby scales, we know that it does. And if they want to integrate it with their enterprise, there's ADFS that you can use to federate it with your internal Active Directory as well. So you can, it's not an all or nothing, right? You can have Active Directory in the cloud, you can have Active Directory on-prem, and you can also have a hybrid of both Active Directory on-prem and in the cloud, right?
That is the go-to. And I think the pieces we're going to show you today, which is, as you mentioned, ADAL, which is the Active Directory Authentication Library, is specifically built to enable that scenario where you may want to extend your on-premise Active Directory into the cloud and be able to access both the same SDK here within your apps. So we'll show you. We're not going to get into too much of using ADFS today, mm-hmm. but that's definitely one of our biggest value propositions, is extending into the cloud.
All right, let's talk about the library for just a second. If I'm a developer and I want to write my own interface with Active Directory, I could probably pull it off. This is really meant to make it easier in a unified API across all the different types of apps. What types of apps are supported with the library? I mean, this is an SDK that's available really broadly.
Yeah, and that's one of the things my team in particular really prides itself on. All sorts of apps are supported by ADAL, and there's ADAL is based on, and Active Directory as a whole is based on, industry standard protocols like OAuth and OpenID Connect and WSFed. And you can find a number of libraries out there like that are just OAuth wrappers, and those will work just fine as well with Active Directory. What ADAL does is makes it very, very easy for the ADFS and AD specifically to use, and it spans across, like you said, web applications, daemons that might be running on servers, your mobile apps, iOS, Android, Windows Phone, WinRT, native apps on your Windows desktop, Windows Store apps. We even have like Node.js for server-side authentication. And I think there's some more coming down the line here in the next few months. But we have a very wide spectrum of libraries available. And that's one of the things we like to pride ourselves on. We're looking to be as cutting edge as possible and reaching as many people as possible and making the AAD service.
And the short of it is, look, here's this library available freaking everywhere, right? That's the idea. No matter what platform you're using, here you go. And if you're going to interact and you're going to authenticate with Active Directory, just like you said, you could use OAuth in your own wrapper, but why the headache when you guys have built everything to make it as smooth and transparent, not to mention the same across all these different, so you have a consistent API across all the different apps you might be writing, especially in today's world of heterogeneous apps on different platforms where you're building mobile solutions and all these things. Why have to learn it again and again when you make it so much easier with this unified developer experience? You personally.
I'll take the credit. I probably don't deserve much of it, but I'll take it as always.
Okay, so before we do anything, let's go through just the pipeline. All right, so I have an application, and I want to secure the application. So let's pretend for a second that we don't have a service, right? Sometimes there's an application that's just an app, and that's an option as well, right? I don't have to have a service to be secure. I can secure just the desktop or just the mobile app that I'm building.
Sure thing. That's one of the main kind of confusions that happens with our library is a distinction between ADAL and requesting access to resources and actually logging users in using AAD. And the components that go into that are on the side of requesting resources, that's ADAL. You're doing things like asking for tokens and making calls to a REST API to get those resources. On the other side of it is the main component is the OWN library, and OWN is the open web interface, and there's many different implementations of OWN, but we have a Microsoft-specific implementation, which is basically a lightweight web server, and that handles all the requests for you and handles all the security in terms of taking tokens in, signing a user in, populating a claims-based identity within your app that you can then use to do a number of things, whether it's access control or verifying a user's identity, presenting things like their username or their email address on the screen.
And Danny, wait, let's be clear. So OWN is not what we're talking about. OWN and the SDK, right? So I'm on the web server. I'm on IIS, right? I use OWN as a way to interact with the pipeline, but I've got your SDK installed as well, and that's what's handling the authentication.
Exactly. And we'll show you, I think we're going to get into a demo a little bit later here. But we'll show you both pieces, and you can see just firsthand where OWN comes into play, where ADAL comes into play, and what the distinction is, and where they tie together, because the whole point of having our own implementation of OWN and is so that it plays very nicely with our libraries and makes it very, very easy for you. You don't even have to think about it. So, but we'll show you the difference.
Let me go through a couple scenarios to make sure the developer's thinking about their application can kind of validate what they're wanting to do. So the first one is I've got my mobile application, my desktop application, whatever it is. That app by itself can be secured. And we can use your SDK to then authenticate the user before we even grant them access to the application. Done.
Absolutely.
And I also can make it so that my application isn't secure, but every time I try and reach out to a service, I can secure just the service. Same scenario, fully supported.
Absolutely. And it can be multiple services as well. You can request, as when a user signs in, request access to several different services and then call those individually with different tokens.
With different tokens. I think that's the important part too, right? You could secure them differently. I can manage the security on the application level, like just give access to Active Directory and from that point forward determine which services they get based on settings inside my app. Or I could use Active Directory in Azure and set up all the services independently and manage them from an administrative point of view, and the app doesn't control what services the app do, right? So the first scenario would be I log into my app. Because I'm logged in, I get access to this, this, and this, but because I'm not an admin, I don't get that last one. Okay, that's my app making the choice, but I can also make it so Active Directory and Azure is set up to allow me access to this, this, and this, but not to this, but that is a policy inside Active Directory, not my app making a decision. I can go either way.
Absolutely. It's up to, obviously, it's at the mercy of the admins who set up AAD, and the admins have the ability to control how much you access control, if you will, to give to the users, or they can maintain that control themselves. And there's some cool things like multi-tenant apps out there where you can set up a SaaS application and then allow users to either give consent for that application to access their data from Active Directory on a user basis, or the admin can go in and say, hey, no, I'm going to allow every single user in my organization to have access to this application and have the application have access to the user's data in Active Directory across the board, across my whole organization. So there's a lot of different flexible scenarios that we meet, and we do our best to come up with new ones as they come up and meet those as
there's
well.
A, There's a lot of pleasure in the Windows environment here too, because you guys are using the web authentication broker, and so I get a lot of single sign-on action where I, you know, I've already accessed this service or whatever it is that I need to back in my browser, but the browser uses the web authentication broker as well, and so now I come into my application and I get a SSO experience.
Exactly, and that's pretty much the heart of the whole thing. The whole story here is we're, as a DevX team, our larger umbrella is authentication and authorization in Azure, and
we get a single sign-on experience, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's pretty much the core of our whole point of view existing here is single sign-on across your different web apps, across platforms, and making sure that the user, as they bounce around, has both single sign-on and single sign-out as well, and be able to manage the way that the user interacts with different types of apps, whether they be apps for a line of business or SaaS apps that you might be paying for from an outside service.
So I've been using the ADAL library that you have.
Don't I know?
Yeah, brilliant. And but I'm doing it inside Windows apps, right, inside a universal application, which is fully supported. But it all kind of started with ASP.NET MVC, and mm-hmm. I wonder if you want to prove to us how easy it is.
I would love to. Yeah, I have a great almost from scratch demo here to show you, and we can get into the different pieces, OWN, ADAL, how to request an access token, how to call a service with that access token, and everything along the lines. So hopefully that'll allow you to understand a little bit more of what I'm saying firsthand.
Cool. Let's take a look. All right, Danny, we're inside Visual Studio. I'm familiar here. What am I looking at?
So here we just have a very basic home control or home controller here with our basic index views, about controller, contact controller, basically just a MVC5 app from scratch running on .NET Framework 4.5. I can show you what I've added thus far, and then we'll go and add a few more pieces to show you how authentication works with ADAL.
Okay.
What I've done so far is I've added an OWN startup class, as you can see over here in startup.cs.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do so by just going to your project, add class, searching for OWN, and it'll create the scaffolding for you here. And it just comes out with this one method here, configuration, and you can leave it as is. And then we have another file here called startup.auth, and this is where a lot of the logic is going to take effect. And I've populated a few variables here from webconfig, and I'll get into what each of those are in a little bit and where they come from. But you can see here, this is where all the activity with OWN takes place. So it's very easy. All you have to do is come in here and set which type of authentication you want to use. And for the future, our strategic direction is to use OpenID Connect to log users in. And so you can see here, I'm using OpenID Connect authentication, and it is verbatim that method. Which also depends on setting some cookies and the way we're going to use it. So you have to use cookie authentication as well. And this startup.auth is the extent of using OWN. And so all you have to do is set a few parameters here, client ID, authority, post logout, redirect URI. And like I said, I'll touch on those in a second.
Okay.
So if I run this app, let me verify. And so you can see also I have an account controller mm-hmm. where, and I'll show you the app in a second, and it'll make a lot more sense, where I have a sign-in controller mm-hmm. and a sign-out controller. And that basically uses OWN to issue a challenge to sign the user in or to sign the user out. Very, very simple, one line of code in either case. So let's run the app as is.
Okay.
And pray I haven't forgotten anything.
I'm sure you haven't.
Oh, I'm sure I have, but we will see.
Now, this is worth pointing out that it'll work locally as well, right? This doesn't have to be a deployed site in order to test or use authentication. You can have it internal inside your network, external on the internet, or local on your box.
Absolutely. And one of the great things we're probably not going to have time to show today is deploying from locally, running it in Visual Studio and IIS Express to Azure website, which makes it literally three clicks and you've deployed it to the cloud within your Azure subscription. So very, very nice, including underlying databases, things like that. So definitely a huge integration point for us that we focus a lot and spend a lot of time on. So here we are in the app. You can see it's just the basic MVC5.
Seen this before? Yeah.
Scaffolding app. Yeah, once or twice, right? And so we can sign in.
Sign in calls the controller you created.
Yep, calls the sign in controller, which issues a challenge.
So this is not a page. If we look at the domain on your browser, right? We have already been moved off to Microsoft Online. That's the domain that handles authentication for Active Directory on Azure.
Thank you for pointing that out. Yeah, no longer in the app here. We are talking to Azure AD. So we're going to log in here as a sample user I've created in my directory, my Azure AD directory, which I can show you in a minute. The point being, I'm able to log in as the sample user, and that's it with the app. So you can see how easy it was to log in with OpenID Connect. You said,
and so you were able to do that. You logged in as sample.user. That is a user inside the tenant set up in Active Directory in Azure, right? So you go to the Azure portal.
Let's go take a look at this because this is worth mentioning. So let's go into the management portal here. And we'll show you just exactly how the tenant is configured here. So as it loads, you'll have to forgive the extra junk that's in here, but we'll make it through somehow. So I have a directory, Strokus Dev, my last name, and then you saw me log in as sample.user@strokusdev.onmicrosoft.com. So I've created a sample directory, or a tenant, as it's known, within Azure AD.
Well, let's back up. Hang on.
Yeah,
so
sure.
As a tenant, as it's known. I mean, that's important, right? So you can create multiple tranches, multiple directories that are totally isolated. That's the idea.
That is the idea. And so if you want to have a test environment, a pre-prod environment, a production environment, multiple directories within an organization for some reason, you have the ability to do that.
Okay.
So here we are in one of my tenants.
You could go to users, and sample.user is going to be a member.
Yep, as well as several others that I've created for various other demonstrations.
All of your employees are the same name.
Very close. And you can also do things like create security groups. I still have a lot in there. And then here is where you add the applications. And so the one I'm using currently is just a generic web app that I added in there, so that's the name, is generic web app. And you go in here, you add an application. It'll auto-populate a lot of the fields here, but you just, when you create a new application, all you have to provide is a name, a sign-on URL. For me, it's my local box here. Mm-hmm. It'll automatically generate a client ID for you, which you pop
that's
into your
client
web config. Yep, that's one of the variables we talked about there.
That's the shared secret between Active Directory and the app, right?
Yes, that's the way that Active Directory knows that the app that is running has permissions to be able to access information about your users. Mm-hmm. And then similarly, there's keys here, and you can set up different application keys, and that's for, we're not going to touch on that too much today, but that is for identifying another piece of identifying an app to the user, and it requires that the application that's running is what's called a confidential client, meaning that it has the ability to keep a secret from the outside world. So usually the authentication flows that use this authentication key are those that are like server to Active Directory, not so much from a mobile client or from in browser in JavaScript or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So
I'm looking at the app URI there, and I'm recognizing it's not localhost. That's where your app was running.
Right. It's a good distinction. So App ID URI does not have to be an actual location. It is simply an identifier for your application. And the convention, in order to make it unique across your tenant, is that you use the tenant name, strokusdev.onmicrosoft.com, followed by the name of your app. And that's just an easy way. You can name this http.myapp if you wanted, or whatever you really wanted. So it's just a way to identify the app to the outside world.
And all that's really required, and I can see the little green checkbox right next to it, is that it be absolutely unique inside Azure.
I think I misled you the other day when we discussed this, actually. It has to be absolutely unique across your tenants, so across your Azure subscription. So for me, as Danny Strokis with my own free Azure subscription here, it has to be unique across my different tenants. So I have my Strokis dev tenant, I have my default tenant, I have another tenant, and it has to be unique across those. So that's why you have to include the Strokis dev on Microsoft. But if Jerry Nixon has his own Azure subscription and you have a tenant named StrokisDev.onMicrosoft.com, we'll be all right.
Got it. No problem. And basically, it's just a unique way of identifying this web app as it's set up inside Azure.
Amen. So this is where you come in, and it's very easy. You just go down here to new, and you create a new directory and a new application, and you plug in the values that it asks for, and it creates a lot of these values for yourself, and you plug in the very easy ones, like the address at which your application is running. And then one of the things to note down below here is that what we're going to do in the sample here going forward is call the Graph API, the Azure AD Graph API. Which provides information about the users in your tenant. And so we had to grant a permission here for the application to access Windows Azure Active Directory. And you can see the different permissions here. And we've granted, we said, enable users to sign on, as well as access your organization's directory.
And you and I call it the Graph API because that's the basic way to query information inside Active Directory. But, of course, that drop-down didn't have the word graph because it's turning it all into English.
Thank you. Yes, of course. So let's go back into the application here and do some more interesting things rather than just sign the user in. What we're going to attempt to do is call up to the Graph API and get some information about the users in our tenant. Now, of course, we need to the Graph API is secured by AAD, and so we need to be able to authenticate against it.
Okay.
So how we're going to do that is in startup.auth, here we are again, back to where we said we want to use OpenID Connect authentication. Owen, remember Owen is the piece that handles the sign-in pipeline. Owen provides some hooks.
Your source code changed.
The pipeline. So Owen provides some hooks here, and those are available to the developer through notifications. And so if you go here, you can say, we're going to create a new OpenID Connect authentication notifications object here, and you'll see that there's various notifications that we have access to. The one that we're interested in today is on this authorization code received event. Now, authorization code received, I can touch on that a bit. OpenID Connect has a flow where essentially when a user clicks sign in our app, it redirects them, making a call to an authorized endpoint of AAD. It asks for a code, an authorization code, as well as an ID token, what's called an ID token. And that's the main distinction between OpenID Connect and OAuth. And so when the user types in their username and password and successfully authenticates, Owen receives both a code and an ID token. And the ID token is used to present things on screen, like email, name, things like that. The code is what the app can then use to call up to different services, call up to AAD, to get a token, and then use that token to call different services in the background. So the code is really the piece that we're interested in here, and you can see that different flow happening in a moment here. So the authorization code received event, how are we going to do this? We can...
So you're creating a handler for this event.
Yes, thank you. And we are going to call, what we want to do is take the code and make a call to the main method of ADAL, which is acquire token. And in ADAL, which we should probably ensure is included in our application here. And you can access ADAL through NuGet, through the package manager, however you want. We can search ADAL. And okay, I've already installed it here for this demo. So
all right.
ADAL, the main, like I said, the main method is acquire token. And the idea behind acquire token is that, and it's the really the beauty of the whole library itself, is that you can acquire a token anywhere you want throughout your application, here in startup, in your controllers, wherever you want. And it'll handle everything else for you. It'll handle presenting the user with a UI prompt if the user needs to authenticate, in which case the user will then type in their username and password and receive a token back. If you've already received a token, it'll handle the caching for you. It'll look in the cache first before it goes and presents the login UI, so if the user's already logged in, they don't get presented again. Mm-hmm. If your token's expired, it'll handle doing things like the refresh token, where when the token is expired, it'll take the refresh token, send that up to AAD, do all the logic there, get back a new token that is good for another extended period of time. So the idea for the developer is all they do is call acquire token. But before we can do that, what we have to do is create an authentication context. And the authentication context is basically representative of our directory. That's the way I like to think about it, at least.
Okay.
So we can just do a new authentication context. And you can see it takes a parameter, just one parameter, the authority. And the authority is just essentially the concatenation of the STS, or in this case, AAD. So login.windows.net is the name of our secure token service, concatenated with the tenant name. So it's just, for me, it'll be login.windows.net/strokusdev.onmicrosoft.com. And I've already cheated a little bit and added that value here as the authority, I believe.
Mm. Now, you were able to get that because you pulled it out of your web config, right?
Exactly. So that's probably
Show us in the web config where it is.
Yeah, yeah. So here I just created a number of app settings and plugged into different values. So here's a client ID we mentioned in the Azure Management Portal, right? The app key that my application is able to keep secret from the outside world.
Yep.
The instance of AAD, the STS instance of AAD that we're going to talk to. For the purposes of most people, it'll be just login.windows.net here. The tenant.
Yep. And now tenant, you say tenant there, but earlier you called it the, what did we just call it? The authority, right?
So the authority,
the tenant,
the authority,
not the authority,
is essentially AAD instance appended with Strokus Dev. So it's login.windows.net/strokusdev.onmicrosoft.com.
Got it. So what's the name of our tenant is
strokusdev.onmicrosoft.com.
What's the name of our authority is the combination of the instance URL, basically, and the tenant concatenated together. Got it.
Yes, thank you for clarifying that.
Well, you know, there's a lot of words here. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so you got to kind of parse through.
Absolutely, and it's definitely one of the main cause of mistakes that we see, or not mistakes, but hiccups along the way of getting used to ADAL, is just the different names of things. So we try to keep them as consistent as possible, and it's definitely a good way to make a point of making the naming scheme consistent. So you can see various layer values. The graph resource ID, that is the location of the API that we're going to try to call. In our case, the graph, which is located at graph.windows.net.
Let me explain that just for a second. So that's the resource ID that I'm going to call out. I'm basically saying to Active Directory, this is what I want to talk to. So I could have said, I want to talk to a service. I could have said, I want to talk to something else. But at the graph.windows.net is the base. I'm basically saying, I want to talk to the root so I can ask about user first name and things like that.
Absolutely. And there's plenty of, we have a GitHub site where we host all of our samples for Azure AD authentication. And there's plenty of different scenarios on there, one of which would be creating a web app and calling your own web API, listing that web API here as the resource ID, and being able to ask AAD for a token to call your own graph or your own API.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
I was going to say earlier where we were looking in the portal, and at the bottom I said, mm-hmm. you know, there's no word graph there or anything like that. That you were giving permission to the graph, and here is the graph.
Yeah, the graph is a... It's a special case, you know, because it's owned here by AAD ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's built into the Windows Azure Active Directory line item here. But you could just easily, you can see actually here grayed out is my an API that I have running for the other demos. It's called Generic Web API, and you can grant permissions for your application to access that API just the same way that you grant your application here to access the Graph API.
So basically, once I would, this is your generic web app is the name of it. So once I have access to this, because of those, I have access to anything else that you grant there.
Exactly.
Okay.
So back to startup.auth, and you can see I've just used the configuration manager to populate various variables with the same values from web.config. Mm-hmm. So that's where authority comes from. Let me plug that in here. Oh. So now we will we're going to do context.acquireToken, and we're going to do a specific version of acquireToken called acquireToken_by_authorization_code.
Which is safe to do because you're in the authorization code received method or handler.
You. Yep. And so what we're going to do is pass the code that we got. And I just noticed that I named my context the same exact thing. So let me change that. We'll call this auth context.
Well, here I am, your peer programmer. I'm not helping at all.
Yeah, good looking out, Jerry. So now we can call context.code to get our authentication code. And I would like IntelliSense to come back and help me out here.
Now, you have context.acquireToken_by_authorization_code.
Sorry?
You want auth context instead of context dot on this line?
We're good here.
At the beginning?
Thank you.
Ah, that had just...
Now you're looking out for me.
Now I'm back.
Okay, he's there. He's here. Okay, so we have our authentication context. We have our authorization code that we're plugging into our call to acquire token. And you can see we need a redirect URI. And from web.config, I've just set a variable called post logout redirect URI to be the home path of my application. So we can just reuse that here. Post logout redirect URI. And you can also see there's various overloads here, but we need essentially a way to tell AAD who we are as the application, and so that it can verify the client ID and the app key that we provided in web.config and that we were given in the management portal to the call to AAD, so they know that it's an application that's allowed to access the user's data. So you can do so in various ways. The easiest way is to use this client credential object. So we'll say, okay, we need a client credential. And the constructor for that just takes your client ID.
Mm-hmm. And which we pull from web.config.
Yes, and as well your client secret, otherwise known as your app key.
Both of which are provided to us by the portal.
Yes. No need to plug those in or generate those yourselves. They'll be generated by the portal. So we have a client credential. We have an authentication context. We're going to provide our client credential here. And then lastly, we need to provide an indication of what resource or what API we would like a token for. And like we've outlined, it's going to be the graph. So that's where the graph resource ID comes in. Remember that value is graph.windows.net. Awesome.
Makes sense.
That is all we're going to do here.
Now, Danny, this is a two-step process, right? So the first thing is the user is prompted to authenticate. They do, and then authorization code is received. Now we're going to go ask for the token, but it's all silent behind the scenes.
Exactly. So all the user is going to see is the login prompt. They're going to sign in, and then in the background, Owen will call this notification for you so you can hook in and do your own custom logic here. And it's important that you bring up a good point in that all we're doing here is calling the AAD for a token on startup. There's no reason that I couldn't store this code somewhere else and call AAD for a token somewhere else in my app. But for the 99% of apps out there and for this app in particular, it makes sense to do so on startup.
Yep.
So we have our authorization code received event here now. We called acquire token. And now we can go do something a little more interesting with it. Here I am back in the home controller. And I'm going to play around in the about controller.
Okay.
And what we're going to do is make a call again. Like I said, acquire token is the main method of ADAL. And I'm going to make a call. You can call it from anywhere in your app to get the token, and it will handle everything else for you. You don't have to worry about it. So what's actually happening in the background here is in startup.auth, when we call acquire token by authorization code, it's going to get the token from AAD and cache it for you. By default, it's going to use cookies to cache, session cookies to cache the token, and that's what we're going to use here today. But you can see in your authentication context, you can also provide a token cache. And this is one of the main points of extensibility for the ADL library, is that you can provide pretty much any storage mechanism you want for your tokens, be it some sort of file or a database that's running underneath. And that's the way that you can allow you know, your apps to scale out across various types of purposes. So the token cache is already built in for you as in a session cookie, but if you want to change that around, you can. So first call to acquire token, we'll get the token, cache it for you. Second call that we're about to do here is just going to look in the cache. Excuse me. Just look in the cache, grab the token out, and return it to us here. So same process. Let's create an auth context and give it a name that's not conflicting with another name that we have.
Yeah.
And I've created made those the values that we pulled from config public, so we can just access them here. Startup.authority. And here we're going to look for, we need the token here, so we're actually going to do something with the token. So we need to create an authentication result, and then make a call to acquire token. And you can see there's various parameters you need to put in here. The resource, again, because there's a possibility here that we would have several tokens in our cache for various different APIs. We want one for the Graph API. We need to provide a few other things. A client credential, right, is the way we're using this here today. So let's create a client credential, just as we did before. Startup. App key, wonderful. Credential. One more thing we need to do when we actually call the Graph API now is we need to provide an indication of who the user is to AAD in order to acquire a token for the Graph API. So we need to create a user assertion object. Excuse me.
Thank you for not abbreviating that.
We're going to create a new string first. So first of all, what we need to do is get the object ID of the user. And the way we're going to get that is Owen populates the claims-based identity of the user for the application when it receives that ID token in OpenID Connect. Not the authorization code, but the other thing it gets, the ID token. So we can just look in. So we're going to say string user ID. We can look in the claims principle.
So it's stored statically, so I can get it from anywhere without.
Yes. And I cheated again and took the RI or the claim type that we're looking for. Pasted it here. So we're going to find a claim in the claims based identity that matches this type, which is the user object ID, and get the value of it. And that'll be our user ID. So now we need to pass that indication of who our user is to the call to acquire token. So we can create a new user assertion with the user ID as our assertion.
Okay.
And finally, the last thing we need to... Actually, I think we're good.
Okay. Now, Danny, wait, what about the redirect URI?
Thank you, Jerry. I skipped a step here. So we do need the redirect URI, as you can see from the IntelliSense. And the way we're going to do that again is from from config, and which we stored in startup.auth. So startup.postlogoutredirect URI is what we called it. But this is actually a URI object, not a string. So we need to create a new URI with the post logout redirect URI. And that's it for the acquire token call.
So, now, this will all happen silently behind the scenes. The user won't be prompted to log in two times.
Absolutely not. They'll be prompted if you called this without doing the work we did here before in authorization code received, you wouldn't have got a token before. And so it would have acquired token would have redirected the user's browser to go log in. But in the case here where we've already acquired the token in startup, it will not prompt us. It'll all happen in the background. It'll go get it from the cache.
All right, so now we've gone and gotten a new token, or maybe the existing token, and what do we do with it?
So let's use it to get some information from the graph, and this is going to be not the most glamorous thing in the world, but we're going to go search the graph for all the users in our tenant. And the graph API is just a standard REST-based API, so we can just make a GET request to it and append our token as an authorization header, and then make the call and read back the JSON that it returns and present that to the user.
Nice.
So let's create a new HTTP client is my preferred way of doing it. We will add a header with a token.
Yep.
Default request headers. Authorization.
Okay, Danny, acquired token. Now we have our authentication result. What do we do with it?
So we're going to call the Graph API. Like we said, we request a token for the API, and it's just the Graph API is a simple REST API. So we can just make an HTTP GET request to an endpoint on the Graph API, and then we're going to call specifically the user's endpoint to get a list of the users that are in our tenant. So we can just do so using a simple HTTP client, and we'll append the access token as an authorization header in that request.
Okay.
And then we'll decrypt there, or we'll parse the JSON that the Graph API returns, and all we're going to do is plug in that JSON into our message here so that it presents it on the screen of our app. So let's go ahead and do that. And I've cheated again and written a few lines of code.
That's all right.
And Jerry, we had it right the first time, and we did not need this redirect URI, so we can go ahead and just take that out.
What about the semicolon?
Always trust your gut, huh?
I know it. Right the first time.
So?
All right, so let me see. Line 32 is the important one, right? This is where we're passing in the token that we got.
Exactly. And you'll set that. Like we said, it's always this bearer value for OpenID Connect. It's part of the specification. The token value, the token type will always be bearer. And you can set that right on the authorization header. And now a cool thing to note is that we also have, for the Graph API, if you're interested in, and a lot of apps are, in doing this kind of get information about your user or users or things from the directory, there's a client library for the Graph API as well that makes it so you don't have to do all this HTTP client, append headers, things like that. You just pass it the values that you want, and you pass it an access token and a parameter, and it makes all the calls for you and gives you back an object, not JSON, but an object with the different values you're looking for. So not my team, a different team, but they do a great work. So worth a look. It's the you can just look up the Graph API client library.
All right. We will include that as a link on the show. How about that?
Awesome.
Great.
So should we go ahead and run this?
Before you do...
Oh, build, that's okay. I won't run it yet.
All right. I wanted to ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
Right now, we run on the assumption that at startup, they've already clicked login, right? Is it possible to get here without logging in?
That's a great distinction. Thank you for pointing that out. So here, if right now we haven't protected this controller at all, and so an unauthenticated user could definitely get here, and what would happen is we'd call into our claims principle trying to locate the user ID of the signed-in user, and it wouldn't find anything, and that would be a problem. So the easiest way to do that is to just slap an authorize attribute on your controller, and you could also just slap it on the entire class as well if you wanted to do so for every single action
Got it. So you can author, you can atomically authorize just individual methods or the entire controller.
Exactly. And for this case, I still want to be able to go to my home page without authentication, but I want to make the user authenticate when they try to get to my about page. So we'll just do it for this one method.
Sure.
So
cool. That's simple.
Rebuild. Run our app.
/ users question mark. If I was looking for guidance on those strings, what would I look up?
The Azure AD Graph API. There is both a type reference on MSDN as well as a great blog from the Graph API team that they keep up to date and let you know what's coming on the line. And they have nice samples about how to append the right parameters and do really cool things. Like you can filter by the beginning of somebody's name if you were searching for a certain person, or get an ordered list, or get the top end results that you want from the Graph API. So very, very extensive
nice.
List of operations you can perform on the Graph API.
All right. So now there's two options, right? The first one is we could click sign in. And if you click sign in, obviously you're going to have to sign in.
Yep.
But the other option is to click about, and it's like clicking sign in.
Exactly. And we didn't put a an attribute on the contact controller, right? So we can go there just fine. We can go back home just fine. But as soon as I hit about, it's going to redirect me to AAD.
Nice. There's sample user.
Good old sample user.
That's
He's
right.
a good guy. And we can check. We typed that all right. Okay, cool. You can all log in as my sample user now.
Yeah, sure. And get access to this website.
Yeah.
All right, so this is what we refer to as model UX design.
Oh, yeah. This is gorgeous, isn't it? I've got to love the raw JSON. So, yeah, we were able to call in. We used the access token. We passed the access token to our call to the Graph API in the authorization header. It validated the access token on its end and returned JSON about all the different users. And plenty of fun stuff in here. User's name.
So we could deserialize this, obviously, and then turn it into a list of users. We could use the library that you were talking about a second ago.
Mm-hmm.
We could dump it in like string, but that's just for the sake of the demo.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Just to prove that it actually works.
Okay, Danny, that makes sense to me. So now I can have, using the library now, I can interact with my application securely, or my website in this case, right? I can do that securely, and I can do it all back with Active Directory, completely managed, completely secure, completely enterprise-grade, and ready to go. That's pretty beautiful when you think you really just demonstrated maybe 15 lines of code.
Yeah, we like to think so, and you know, you can make these acquire token calls, like we said, over and over again, and really not have to worry about any of the underlying behavior, and that's kind of the beauty of it. We want identity and authentication and authorization to come second nature to the developer, so that's the goal.
Perfect. Danny, what's in the future? Is it just going to get better?
That's the idea. I think, like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we have quite a number of features that align to things that Active Directory on-premise can do that we're going to start including in AAD, things like customized roles that you can define for your application and that you can use for role-based access control. Group claims are coming where the token that that you receive from AAD will include information about the security groups that a user is a member
good.
Of. A bunch of things like that. And then in the grander scheme of things, some cool new features that don't have to do so much with ADAL and the authentication libraries, but lots of cool, crazy new things that are coming down the pipeline that should have our customers pretty excited.
And with every step, you know, Azure Active Directory becomes more and more appealing to enterprises to move everything, or not everything. Let's just say more and more and more and more and more and more up there, right? And it's just a beautiful thing. And now this easy way of implementing it into applications. You, the developer out there, if you're writing your application and you need authentication, stop messing around and monkeying with your own users table and things like that. Do things right with Active Directory and with ADAL. You can integrate it with all types of applications on Android, iOS, all the Windows flavors. All out of the box, all with a common API. Danny, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Jerry. That was fun.